We continue picking up the theme assigned for today, which is looking at sections of John chapter 21, and we will sort of try and move this through relatively sort of quickly.
Vi fortsætter i dag med at kigge på Johannes 21, og vi vil gå igennem det relativt hurtigt.
Not that I want to stifle any questions or discussions.
Og det er ikke fordi jeg vil bremse for spørgsmål eller diskussion.
But we'll do something that's very un-George and almost un-Lutheran.
Men vi vil gøre noget, der ikke er særlig George-agtigt og heller ikke særlig luthersk måske.
We'll stick to time.
Vi vil overholde tiden.
There is a session this afternoon, and if we want to pick something up, maybe we can grab a bit of time there.
Og i eftermiddagens session, der kan vi måske samle nogle af de spørgsmål op, som vi måtte have nu.
Okay, let's pray.
Lad os bede.
Once again, Lord God, we thank you for this day.
Herre Gud, vi takker dig for denne dag.
We thank you for the food that has nourished our bodies.
Vi takker dig for den mad, som har næret vores læmer.
And we thank you for your word, which nourishes us totally.
Og vi takker dig for dit ord, som nærer os hele vores væsen.
Bless this time of study and reflection.
Velsign denne stund, for, hvor vi tænker over dit ord og studerer det.
So that we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Så at vi hører, hvad din ånd siger til kirken.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I Jesus Kristus, vor Herre.
Amen. Okay, just a couple of points that you recall. We're on a trajectory. Jesus comes, Jesus sends, and now Jesus cares is the trajectory of the theme. So just a couple of very quick things in your head to sort of wake up the neurons.
Så lad os lige få vækket neuronerne i hjernen her. Der hvor vi var i går, havde vi det her tema, hvor Jesus kom, og Jesus sender videre. Har I noget sådan fra i går, vi kan samle op på?
So one or two points that you recall about Jesus comes from the first session.
Et eller to punkter, I har hæftet jer ved, hvor Jesus kommer fra den første time.
Like calisthenics, and it's getting the brain working.
Han kommer som. Well, altså han kommer sådan i ikke fysisk som vi kender det. Ja, yeah. He comes a bit spirit like, not physical like us, but through locked doors to his disciples.
Yes, and yet he is of course physical.
Ja, det er rigtigt. Han kommer gennem låste døre, og alligevel er han fysisk.
Yes, but yes, he comes to us no matter the time and place.
Og han kommer også til os ligegyldigt hvor og hvornår vi befinder os.
There's no barrier that can stop him.
Der er ikke nogen barriere der kan stoppe Jesus.
Okay.
Der er også måske lidt overraskende at det allerførste han siger simpelthen, det er fred være med jer, og derefter jeg sender jer ud.
Well, there was also a surprising element perhaps that the first thing he says is peace be with you, and then sends them out.
Okay. All right. So we picked this up before, and that His presence is always gracious. Starting point.
Vi har haft det rigtige, vi har samlet det her op før. Jesus tilstedeværelse altid med nåde. Det er det, der er udgangspunktet.
Okay. So just keeping in terms of the time, and the second one, Jesus sending out, because that leads us into Jesus sending. What's all that about?
Og anden del, hvor Jesus sender disciplene ud. Hvad handler det om?
Believe because of the word and not because of what we see apropos Thomas.
Okay, yes. Mm. Okay, so that means that faith is not confined to the generation back then.
Okay, så det betyder at troen er ikke bundet til den generation dengang eller begrænset til den.
But for as long as there are people on this planet until Jesus returns, there will be the followers of Jesus.
Så længe der er mennesker på denne planet, fra dengang Jesus vandrede på jorden og til han kommer tilbage, så vil der være nogen, der følger Jesus.
Generation after generation haven't seen yet believe.
Generation efter generation har ikke set og tror dog.
Yep. And that's happening generation after generation after generation because people have been.
Og det sker generation efter generation, fordi mennesker er blevet
sendt
ud.
You knew that. Okay. And that's that work that's happening. We talked a little bit about that. There's the official work, we would say the office of the ministry, and then there's the vocational work, the work of the people of God, as you live out your lives as mums and dads and workers.
Vi talte lidt om det officielle arbejde, som Gud har givet igennem forkyndere og hyrdeembedet, men også det kald Guds menighed har, og det kald vi har i hverdagslivet som forældre og som medkristne.
As you live as followers of Christ in your communities, so people see and you've been sent out into the world, and your lives, your words draw people back to the author of life.
Og vi vidner med vores liv blandt de mennesker, hvor Gud har sat os og i vores kald. Og andre mennesker ser også derigennem Jesus.
Okay, now that's the big picture.
Det er det store billede.
Today we now sort of look at some of the details, some very, very specifically, and we're going to particularly target the last part of chapter 21.
Og i dag vil vi så se på nogle helt specifikke detaljer og i sidste del af kapitel 21.
And remember, as I said, you already bring, you've done years and years of Bible study.
Og husk, som jeg har sagt før, I har studeret Bibelen i masser af år.
We live 2,000 years after these events.
Og vi lever nu 2,000 år efter begivenhederne.
There's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of books have been written.
Der er blevet skrevet masser af bøger om det.
And so there's lots of information buzzing around in our heads already.
Og vi har masser af information, der drøner rundt i hovedet.
And that's good.
Det er rigtig godt.
Just occasionally though, it might not get us to actually read the actual text.
Men indimellem kan det forhindre os i at se, hvad teksten rent faktisk siger.
So we've always got to really study the word, study the text.
Så vi skal altid nærstudere ordene og teksten.
Because that's what's been given to us.
Det er det, der er blevet givet til os.
And we sort of learn and grow.
Og vi lærer derigennem og vokser.
So let's just quickly ask, what do we already bring to the text in terms of what do we know about what happened to the apostle Peter?
Så lad os lige gøre os bevidst om det her og sige, hvad er det vi kender allerede om teksten? Hvad ved vi om apostlen Peter?
Don't look down, don't read the text. Eyes up, eyes on the roof. What do you already know?
Lad være med at læse teksten nu, men fortæl, hvad ved I allerede?
No, just anybody, what do we know in general?
Hvad ved vi sådan helt generelt om Peter?
Peter at the end.
Yeah, he shall be a rock for my word.
He was, and in that he was being regarded by the church history as sort of the first pope.
Yeah, det er rigtigt, og kirkehistorien blev han regnet som den første pave.
All right, so he was one of the leaders of the church.
Han var en af lederne i kirken.
Just quickly give me some other leaders of the church.
Kan I nævne nogle andre kirkeledere?
In those first decades.
Paul.
Paul was one. Another one. Yeah.
James.
Okay. So
brother of Jesus.
Brother of Jesus. So you've got sort of leadership that's sort of bubbling in the church. We know this, yes.
Hmm. Så der er lederskab rundt omkring her i kirken.
Right. What else do we know about Peter at the end of his life? How does Peter die?
Hvad ved vi i øvrigt om Peter i slutningen af hans liv? Hvordan døde han? Han blev korsfæstet med hovedet nedad.
Okay. Church tradition. It's not in scripture, but it's been accepted in terms of its history. We have no reason to disbelieve it. Crucified, head down.
Det er rigtigt. Det er hvad traditionen har overleveret til os. Det er ikke i skriften, men vi har ingen grund til at tro, at det ikke skulle forholde sig sådan.
Church tradition only, have no way of specifically proving it, but it's come down to us from within the Catholic Church.
Og kirketraditionen i sig selv har ikke nogen måde metode til specifikt at bevise det her, men det er blevet overleveret til os gennem den katolske kirke.
Who else was executed on the same day that Peter died, but in a different place in Rome?
Hvem blev ellers henrettet samme dag som Peter døde, men et andet sted i Rom? Jakob, James,
no.
Jacob,
no.
No, but that's in Danish. Jakob,
James. No. No, what, not that I know of, but no, not in the church tradition. There's a festival, end of June. You celebrate the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul. And the reason that's come about, because church tradition says they died different places same day.
Der var en fejring, en festival i juni, hvor man markerede Peter og Paulus død, og kirketraditionen fortæller os, at de døde den samme dag, men på to forskellige steder.
Okay, so we have this 2,000 years later.
Så vi har det her 2,000 år senere.
We're not sure about that sort of history.
Vi er ikke helt sikre på den historie.
Now fastly go back in time. You're now roughly beginning of the first century. end of the first century.
Så vi går nu tilbage i tiden og er i slutningen af det første århundrede.
Do you think the people then would know more about what happened to Peter?
Tror I, at mennesker dengang ville vide mere om præcis hvad der skete med Peter?
They would know the history. It's only about 40 years, maybe 30 years, 20 years.
Det er måske kun 20, 30, 40 år efter.
The chances are they would know it better than we would know it 2000 years.
Der er en vis sandsynlighed for at de ville vide mere om det end vi ved nu 2000 år efter.
I don't know what happened in Denmark 10 years ago, but I bet you do.
Jeg ved ikke hvad der skete i Danmark for 10 år siden, men I gør sikkert.
And I bet you know what happened in Denmark 200 years better than I do.
Og for 200 år siden, der ved I det sikkert også bedre end jeg gør.
That's the way it works. That's the way history works.
Og det er sådan historien er.
Alright. So we've got that. What do we know about John?
Okay, så det er på plads. Hvad så med Johannes? Hvad ved vi om ham?
We said it last two studies ago.
For 2 timer siden, der nævnte vi det. Yeah, he died of old age.
All right. So he's the oldest one, and possibly the last one, and he's the only one, according to church tradition, that is not martyred, is not executed. He dies of old age.
Det er rigtigt. Han er sandsynligvis den sidste og den ældste, og som den eneste af disciplene, så led han ikke martyrdøden.
In other words, there's a point where all his colleagues have died. He is now the last one.
Så der er på et tidspunkt, hvor alle hans kollegaer er døde, og han er nu den sidste.
And he's sort of living on.
Og han fortsætter med at leve.
And tradition has it, whereabouts is he living?
Og ifølge traditionen, hvor var det så, han boede på det tidspunkt?
In Ephesus, in modern-day Turkey.
Ephesus.
And who's living with him?
Og hvem boede sammen med ham?
According to church tradition.
Ifølge kirkens tradition. Ja, Papias.
Yes. I was thinking of a woman.
Maria,
Jesus mor.
Okay, so the places of the death of Mary, mother of Jesus, and John in church tradition, and certainly according to the tourism board of Turkey, is Mary and John.
Så ifølge kirketraditionen og bestemt også ifølge Tyrkiets turistguide, så døde Maria og Johannes i Efesus.
Why do I sort of inflict this on you before you read the text?
Hvorfor nævner jeg det her for jer, før I læser teksten?
Because in my opinion, if you are reading this text in 110 AD,
efter min mening, hvis I forestiller jer, at I læste den her tekst i år 110 efter Kristus,
this is the sort of stuff that is swirling around in your brains.
Så er det den her slags erindringer og overleveringer, som I vil have i jeres hoveder.
To a greater or lesser degree.
I større eller mindre grad.
Let's just pick up the verses now.
Og lad os nu samle op på versene.
So it's the last part of 21.
Yeah.
And it's 15 to the end.
From 15 to the end. Yeah. Godt. Jeg læser fra vers 15 og til slutningen af kapitel 21.
Da de havde spist, siger Jesus til Simon Peter: Simon, Johannes søn, elsker du mig mere end de andre? Han svarede: Ja, herre, du ved, jeg har dig kær. Jesus siger til ham: Vogt mine lam. Igen for anden gang sagde han til ham: Simon, Johannes søn, elsker du mig? Han svarede: Ja, herre, du ved, at jeg har dig kær. Jesus sagde til ham: Vær hyrde for mine får. Jesus sagde til ham for tredje gang: Simon, Johannes søn, har du mig kær? Peter blev bedrøvet, fordi han tredje gang spurgte ham: Har du mig kær? Han svarede ham: Herre, du ved alt, at jeg har dig kær. Jesus sagde til ham: Vogt mine får. Sandelig, sandelig siger jeg dig, da du var ung, bandt du selv op om dig og gik hvorhen du ville, men når du bliver gammel, skal du strække dine arme ud, og en anden skal binde op om dig og føre dig hen, hvor du ikke vil. Med de ord betegnede han den død, Peter skulle herliggøre Gud med. Da han havde sagt det, sagde han til ham: Følg mig. Da Peter vendte sig om, ser han den disciple følge efter, som Jesus elskede, og som ved måltidet havde siddet lige ved siden af ham og spurgt: Herre, hvem er det, der skal forråde dig? Da nu Peter så ham, sagde han til Jesus: Herre, hvad så med ham? Jesus sagde til Peter: Hvis jeg vil, at han skal leve, til jeg kommer, hvad angår det så dig? Følg du mig. Da kom det forlydende ud blandt brødrene, at den discipel ikke skulle dø. Men Jesus havde ikke sagt, at han ikke skulle dø, men hvis jeg vil, at han skal leve, til jeg kommer. Hvad angår det så dig? Det er den disciple, som vidner om dette, og som har skrevet dette, og vi ved, at hans vidnesbyrd er sandt. Der er også mange andre ting, Jesus har gjort. Hvis der skulle skrives om dem en for en, tror jeg ikke, at hele verden kunne rumme de bøger, som så måtte skrives.
Tak. With what you know, with what we just said just before we did the reading,
og med det I ved og det vi nævnte lige før læsningen.
And now you've heard the reading.
Og nu har I hørt læsningen.
Do you sort of just sort of on the inside, do you sort of go, yeah? Or did you put up a stack of barriers in your head and you went, no, that's wrong?
Men det I hører, havde I så sådan en oplevelse af, ja, det giver egentlig mening det her, eller havde I sådan på en eller anden måde et staket op foran og sagde, nej, det er ikke rigtigt det her, der er noget, der ikke stemmer.
Which one?
Hvordan oplevede I det? Okay, the expression. Yeah. Buddha says now we know Peter from before and wonders Jesus probably asked him three times because he denied knowing Jesus three times.
Mm. Yep. Well, exactly. And that fits though.
Yep, det er rigtigt, og det passer.
You've already made an assumption. Made a link.
Og du har allerede draget en forbindelse.
That's how our studies work.
Det er sådan det fungerer når vi studerer.
So there are three denials and there are three questions back to him.
Så der er tre fornægtelser og tre spørgsmål tilbage til ham.
And I know of no pastor or no person who reads those accounts and doesn't make the link.
Og jeg kender ikke til nogen præst eller nogen person som læser det her uden at kæde det sammen i hovedet.
Okay, that makes sense, we say.
Og vi tænkte, ja, det giver mening det her.
Have to learn about that.
Det må vi lære mere om.
Now, the question to ask, why has it been put in scripture?
Men spørgsmålet er nu, hvorfor er det her i den hellige skrift?
Is it just for us to learn some history?
Er det bare for, at vi skal lære noget om historie?
Oh, God's nice to Peter, that's good. Jesus is good to Peter.
Ja, Gud er god mod Peter, Jesus er god mod Peter.
Well, Jesus hopefully is good to me.
Og Jesus er forhåbentlig også god mod mig.
Or is there something in what Jesus tells Peter that maybe specifically does apply also to me?
Eller er der noget i det Jesus siger til Peter, som specifikt også gælder for mig?
Welcome to Bible study.
Velkommen til Bibelstudie.
And people will have various views on it.
Og mennesker vil have forskellige syn på det her.
And we're going to do a bit of that now.
Og det skal vi beskæftige os lidt med nu.
So that's that example. Thank you.
Så det var eksemplet her. Tak for det.
But what about the second part and the part about John, Peter and John? From what we already knew.
Så hvad med den anden del? Hvad med Peter og Johannes? Og igen ud fra hvad vi allerede ved om dem.
Did you sort of go, yeah, okay, that fits, or?
No, that's rubbish.
Hvordan oplevede det? Havde en fornemmelse af, ja, det passer sammen, eller ah, det forstår vi ikke helt.
Ja.
Jo, det er fint på den sammenhæng.
Yeah, it's very very helpful to have that background information and say yeah he's the oldest of the disciples and yeah.
It sort of fits, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you were back then,
forestil jer hvis I levede dengang,
and you happen to know that Peter died of a heart attack after Jesus said, "Do you love me?" on the third question.
Og hvis I vidste, at Peter døde af en blodprop i hjertet efter at Jesus havde sagt, "Elsker du mig?" tredje gang.
And you now read this text.
Og I nu læser teksten.
Now tell me, would you go, "Oh yeah," or?
Og hvis I nu læste teksten, ville I så tænke, "Ja, det giver god mening," eller ville I tænke, "Hold da op"?
I would hope you would probably go. Pff.
Og jeg håber, I ville tænke, "Ha."
That's different. I like that. That's a different phrase. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you believe everything you read in the papers?
Tror I på alt, hvad I læser i aviserne?
No. Right. Are there some papers that you trust more than others?
Er der nogle aviser, I stoler på mere end andre? Yeah, the ones that have the same perspective as us.
It's cheeky, but I understand it. But you want stuff that's accurate, don't you?
Okay, det forstår jeg godt, men man vil gerne have informationer, som er nøjagtige.
There are stacks of New Testament documents that are around.
Der er stakkevis af nytestamentlige dokumenter omkring.
Why do we stick to the scriptures?
Hvorfor holder vi os til den hellige skrift?
For the truth about Jesus.
For sandheden om Jesus.
I can give you a document. I can't give it to you personally, but I can show you a document.
Jeg kan vise jer et dokument.
These infancy narratives of Jesus.
Som er nogle fortællinger om Jesu barndom.
When he was in Nazareth preschool.
Hvor han var i den underskolen i Nazareth.
And he made some clay pigeons.
Og han lavede nogle små duer af ler.
And because he got bored.
Og fordi han gik sig.
He made them alive and they flew away.
Så gjorde han dem levende og de fløj afsted.
If I gave that to you and said that's gospel, you gonna believe it?
Hvis jeg gav det til jer og sagde det her er evangelie, vil I så tro på det? Well, we are told at the wedding in Cana that this is the first time Jesus performs a wondrous deed.
Yeah, so straight away, you're saying no, that's right.
Det er rigtigt, med det samme siger du nej.
Because there's a frame of reference that the Holy Spirit gives to the people from the first generation onwards through words.
Der er en referenceramme, som Helligånden giver den første generation, der fulgte efter Jesus, og fremad.
And you say,
igennem ord.
That fits.
Og ja, vi kan sige, det passer, det her.
And the stuff that is always floating around.
Og alt det her, som bobler op rundt omkring og flyder rundt.
And we go, it doesn't fit.
Kan vi mærke, det passer ikke rigtig ind.
We can use that.
Det bruger vi ikke.
And so we have 27 books in the New Testament.
Vi har 27 bøger i det Nye Testamente.
And who brought that about?
Hvem gjorde, at de kom til at eksistere?
I'll answer the question to keep us going.
Og jeg svarer for, at vi kan holde det flydende her.
It was the Holy Spirit who brought this about.
Det var Helligånden, som gjorde, at det skete.
Through keeping people focused on Jesus.
Ved at holde menneskers fokus på Jesus.
So that story about Jesus and the clay pigeons is around. There's a manuscript of it.
Så den her historie om Jesus og lerduen, der blev levende, jamen den er der, og der er et manuskript.
And lots of other stuff as well.
Og der er masser af andre ting.
And the church is always going.
Og kirken har altid trukket på skuldrene over det.
That's it. So what we've got when we're looking at scripture is a very interesting point to bear in mind, particularly in relation to the last verse.
Og det vi har i skriften, der er noget meget vigtigt, vi skal holde os for øje, specielt med hensyn til det sidste vers.
Which is also the same theme of the last verse in chapter 20.
Som også er temaet af det sidste vers i kapitel 20.
Did Jesus do more things than in his life than is written down in scripture?
Gjorde Jesus andet end i sit liv end hvad der er nedskrevet i skriften?
And that produces a conundrum in us.
Og det får os til at tænke.
Or a question in us.
Og rejse et spørgsmål.
I wonder what.
Hvad mon det var?
And so we can be seduced or enticed away with some new secret message.
Så vi kan godt blive forført af nye dokumenter dukker op og fortæller noget der ikke tidligere var kendt.
Jesus travels to England.
Jesus rejser til England.
You knew that, didn't you?
Vidste I det?
No. Well, according to the Glastonbury Tourist Board, that's a good theory.
Ifølge en lokal turist guide, der er det en plausibel teori.
Those hidden years of Jesus.
Jesus skjulte år.
When he went to India. I mean, where else did he get his amazing teachings?
Hvorfra skulle han ellers have fået sin fantastiske lære?
And the world gets seduced and people get called away.
Og verden bliver forført og mennesker bliver trukket væk.
From the truth.
Fra sandheden.
So to stop us from being seduced and tagged away and tempted away.
For at vi ikke skal blive forført og trukket væk og fristet.
How do we then work against that? What do we do in relation to the scriptures? And you see that at the end of chapter 20 and chapter 21.
Hvad gør vi så i relation til skrifterne for at sikre os mod det? Og I ser det i slutningen af kapitel 20 og 21.
What?
Vi holder os til apostlen.
We stick to the apostolic testimony.
Right? And why? What's the goal?
Og hvad er målet?
Hvad vi skal tro.
That we should believe.
That you may believe that Jesus is the the Christ, the Son of God,
and by skal tro at Jesus er Messias, Guds søn.
And by believing, you have life in His name.
Og ved troen har vi liv i Hans navn.
And I will put it to you. I can't prove it specifically. I don't have the time.
Og jeg vil foreslå for jer her. Jeg kan ikke bevise det. Det har jeg ikke lige tid til.
But if you want to do manuscript studies or textual studies,
men hvis I har lyst til at lave manuskriptstudier eller tekststudier,
if you want to read the stuff that is around from the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th centuries,
og hvis I vil læse hvad der findes fra det 3. til det 7. århundrede,
the crazy ideas of the 19th century, the 20th century, this process hasn't stopped.
Og de tossede idéer, der kommer op i 19. og 20. århundrede, den her proces er ikke stoppet.
All the words that are not based on the apostolic tradition, as life said.
Alle de ting, som ikke er baseret på den apostoliske tradition, som Leif fremhævede,
have as a goal to gobble you up and to manipulate you.
Har som mål at forføre jer og manipulere jer.
But what is the goal of scripture?
Hvad er skriftens formål?
That you may have life. You may live.
At du skal have liv.
Knowing Jesus under the cross.
At kende Jesus under korset.
All of the words are trying to get at you, manipulate you, gobble you up, bring you death.
Og alle andre ord vil søge at forføre dig og bringe dig væk fra Jesus, og de giver kun død.
So let me just go back to now quickly John. Can you see the point that was being made in John 21 about John?
Kan I se pointen i Johannes kapitel 21 om Johannes?
It seemed that there was an idea that he might be alive when Jesus returned.
Der var en idé oppe på det tidspunkt, at han nok ville være i live, når Jesus vendte tilbage.
And is that an idea that we find in other parts of Scripture, that the early church, the disciples, expected Jesus to return very quickly?
Er det noget, som vi finder andre steder i Nyt Testamentet, at disciplene forventede, at Jesus ville vende hurtigt tilbage?
So it's not inconsistent with what we find in other parts of Scripture.
Alright, så vi kan se, det stemmer med det tilfælde, og det stemmer med, hvad vi kan se andre steder i skriften.
And of course, these verses are clarifying it. Look, this idea is wrong.
Og de her vers, de sætter fokus på det her og siger, hør her, den her idé er ikke rigtig.
Jesus didn't say that the disciple Jesus loved, who we are saying is John, is just going to live on and on.
Og understreger, at Jesus rent faktisk ikke sagde, at den her disciple, som Jesus elskede, som Johannes, ville fortsætte med at leve for evigt.
Can you see that? Okay. So let's now go to the questions, and you might need to just follow the sheet. Once I'm actually going to stick to my text.
Lad os nu gå til spørgsmålene på arket til kapitel 21.
Now a great deal of words have been written about the Greek that is used in the three questions, and I'd just like to focus this as an example very much of Jesus personal care.
Der er skrevet og forsket en hel masse i det græske, som ligger til grund for vores oversættelse her af de tre spørgsmål Jesus stillede, og jeg vil have lidt fokus på det nu.
Now the reason Leif learned his Greek and his Hebrew and his Latin.
Og grunden til at Leif har studeret græsk og hebraisk og latin.
So that when you read your Danish, he can give you the nuances that are behind the text.
Ja, for at når I læser den på dansk, så kan Leif supplere med de nuancer der er i teksten.
And John 21 gives us some interesting bits of Greek.
Og i Johannes 21 er der nogle interessante græske elementer og nuancer.
And I don't know what it is in Danish, but there is fish used a few times when they were fishing earlier. Fish, caught fish.
Så jeg ved ikke helt, hvordan det er på dansk, men jeg spørger, bliver fisk brugt nogle gange tidligere, at der bliver fanget fisk?
Is it just says fish?
Siger det fisk? Tre gange?
Yes, it does. So I've got a nod there. But there are three different Greek words that have been translated into Danish fish.
Alle tre gange, men på græsk er der tre forskellige ord, der så bliver oversat til fisk.
And welcome to Bible study, because some people scratch their heads and go, well, is it just synonyms, because we're just making it interesting, or is there a meaning here?
Og man kan måske tænke over det, er det bare synonymer, eller er der en dybere mening bag det?
That's the joy of scripture, it's the joy of study.
Og det er glæden ved at studere skriften.
Now tell me about Danish and when Jesus tells Peter the task, feed or feed tend or whatever. What is it? Sheep? What is it in your Bibles?
Prøv at fortælle mig der hvor Jesus han bliver bedt om eller vogte vogte fårene. er det får der nævnes alle tre gange?
Which was the first one?
Lamb
is the first one,
and then sheep.
All right. So in your mind, you've got a difference of age.
Okay.
Of the animal. Yes.
So first er det lam, og dernæst får. So i jeres hoveder er der et billede af alder her.
Okay. So you've got a difference in age. It's fine, except that when you go to the study, life will tell you, well, strictly, depending on the manuscripts, there are three different words that are used for the animal.
Men i manuskripterne, som ligger bag oversættelsen, der er der faktisk tre forskellige ord, som bliver brugt om dyret.
So one is lamb, one is sheep, and one is little sheep.
Så det ene er lam, det andet er får, og det tredje er lille får.
Yeah. Okay, so I heard that. You used different words, sort of. You added. But you could then rightly ask, what's the difference between... No, you did it right. You were always doing it right. You're perfect. But what's the difference then between lamb and little sheep?
Så hvad er forskellen mellem et lam og et lille får?
Okay. And you might go, okay. This sort of stuff. Yeah. I mean, this is the joy. This is the fun of Bible study. Because if you come up with an idea and you come up with an idea, and if it fits within Scripture, well, you've probably both grown from it. Well done. Fantastic.
Og det man kan glæde sig over det her, er, vi kan have nogle idéer om hvad det her kan betyde, og når det passer inden for de rammer der er sat af skriften, jamen så kan vi glæde os over det og sige det er interessant det her.
Okay, now come to the word love again in Danish. Is it just love? Do you love me? Do you know I love you? Do you love me?
Nu kommer ordet elsker på dansk. Bruges der det samme ord alle tre gange? No.
It isn't.
No.
Ooh. Well, the it's Danish are very clever then.
Not the same. It's do you love me? Do you hold me dear?
Right.
Is it? I think. Yeah. So it's different.
Okay. So tell me the difference. Tell me what the help the English to hear the difference then. And who says it? Who says which love?
At elske det er sådan noget at som kvalificerer en selv, men at holde af. Det kvalificerer mere den anden.
Well, to
siger, jeg holder af dig. Du er meget værd.
To love is jeg elsker at kvalificere den anden, siger du. Okay, to love is directed to the other, and to hold dear is more closer to yourself.
Okay. Right. Okay. So Which is the love in the first one? So in verse 15, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Which love is it in Danish?
The first one, the elsker. I think elsker, the first one, is more deeply, it's more to love someone, it's much more deeply than just to have me there.
Right. It's
I think I got the idea. It's a deeper love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and the other one is more... childish love?
Yeah, you can turn around,
maybe,
not so much love.
No. So one is a deep love, the other one's more an affection.
Yeah.
No. Welcome to the fun, because this is the exciting part of study. This is exactly what it's about, because you learn, you think through things, and what does God want us to do, and how do we understand it? I'm saying this is the stuff that we do around the table when we study. It's great stuff. Sorry, you wanted to add something.
The choice of words from Peter, it seems that he becomes increasingly insecure during this back and forth.
Nice observation. Mm. Because there is a story, you know, here.
Yeah, der er en fortælling her også.
Right. Now, I'll just give you the Greek version without all the Greek.
Så jeg prøver at give den græske version uden alt det græske.
Does that make sense? All right. But you've also got to be aware that in the Greek, they don't, because language is fluid. Language changes. It's never set totally in concrete. It moves.
Godt, så også på det græske her. Jeg vil gerne gøre opmærksom på, at sproget er hele tiden i bevægelse. Det er dynamisk.
So what you've got is you've got three Greek words. You've got agape.
Vi har her tre græske ord. Agape.
Love, deep love, sacrificial love.
Som er den dybe kærlighed, den kærlighed, der giver sig selv.
God so loved the world, the agape love.
At Gud, således elskede Gud verden, at han gav sin søn. Det er agape.
You've got phileo, love for a brother, love for a person.
Og dernæst kærlighed til en bror eller et menneske.
But it can be interchanged with agape. Not often, but it can be.
Og det kan byttes ud med ordet agape, men det er ikke så tit det sker.
And it is in John. It's interchanged at times.
Og i Johannes der bliver de indimellem byttet rundt.
The third one is eroto, you get erotic, I don't know what it is in Danish, sexual love, love between mom and dad, husband and wife. Yeah.
Den tredje erotisk kærlighed, som mellem mand og kvinde.
All right, that one's not used in this section.
Det bruges ikke i den her sektion.
All right. So Jesus says, do you love me, the deep sacrificial love?
Så Jesus spørger først, om du elsker du mig med den kærlighed, der giver sig selv?
And we can understand why, but your point is interesting in the Greek.
Vi kan godt forstå hvorfor, men din pointe der, for baggrund af den, det er meget interessant i det græske.
And I'm assuming that the Danish is the stronger love, Jesus question, yes?
Og jeg tror også, at på dansk antager jeg, at det er den stærkere kærlighed, der er tale om her.
And then Peter replies, is it the stronger love or the weaker love? See, you are more precise in Danish than we are in English, because in English it's just love, 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 love.
Det er godt, fordi på dansk er I her mere præcise og tættere på det græske. Fordi på engelsk er det bare elsker hele vejen.
Well done, Danish. Well done, Danish people. So, fantastic.
Fantastisk oversættelse.
So, what you've got is, I do love you, but it's not the strongest love. It's the phileo.
Så vi har på dansk her også det her. Jeg elsker dig, men ikke med den her kærlighed, der giver sig selv.
More than these.
Mere end de andre.
More than deal with that straight away. More than these. What does that mean?
Hvad betyder det?
Ja. Yeah. Det betyder vel egentlig, at Peter hele tiden har været ham, der sagde, nej, det må ikke ske. Og om de så, om jeg så skal dø, eller vil jeg aldrig. Så han har været den, der gik foran.
Peter has been the one walking in front and says no, this can't happen, but even if we should die, even if I should die with you, I will not leave you.
Okay, so he's the one that made the sort of the stronger claim. He said I'm the one that's the best of your disciples.
Yeah. So han er den der kom med det stærke vidensbyrd. Jeg er den bedste af dine disciple.
So the question is then with that idea, do you love me more than these? In other words, these other ones, brackets, really, sort of scenario.
So elsker du mig mere end dem? Og det er så de andre her, der henvises til.
Okay, so that's one interpretation. Do you love me more than the other disciples? All right, one interpretation.
Så det er en mulig oversættelse. Elsker du mig mere end de andre disciple? We know that they have also argued which one of them is the greater.
Yes, that's... Yeah, that's true. And how much of that is playing back into this scenario now? We have no idea.
Yep. Det er rigtigt, og der kan være elementer af det, som påvirker det her scenario. Det ved vi ikke ud fra skriften.
You would have hoped they would have solved it. I mean, when Jesus solved it by putting a child in the midst, but yeah, human sin being what it is.
Man kunne håbe, at de ville have indset, hvordan det hænger sammen, da Jesus sætter et barn hen, men ja, sådan er menneskets natur.
Okay, so it could be the disciples more than these. Yes.
Det kunne være disciplen mere end dem. Well, Helena points out that Jesus subtly shows Peter his greatest weakness, that is boasting and saying, "Wow, I'm the big guy."
Yeah, yeah.
And the way Peter replies to the Lord shows that he gets it.
Yes. Yep. I wouldn't dispute that at all. Yep. That he will stick to his words. Jesus is going to change his words. Yep. Yep.
In the first
der spørger Jesus, elsker du mig mere end de andre, som det lige taler om. Men Peter, det svarer han jo ikke på. Han siger bare, jeg har Jesus kær. Han svarer på, det er egentlig meget godt svaret.
Peter does not say yes to the first question, but says I hold you dear. In Danish.
I mean, he knows he screwed up. I mean, he knows he's done wrong.
Han ved godt, han har kvalet sig.
I mean, you know, the moment's going to come. Either Jesus will ignore it and he's going to go, what do I do? Or Jesus is confronting it and now it's...
Han ved godt, hvad øjeblikket vil komme, og enten vil Jesus ignorere det, eller også vil han konfrontere ham. Og det er det, der sker nu, og Peter kommenterer.
But what's the context? The context is Peter has said, and the group has followed, so he's still a de facto leader, whatever you say. I'm going fishing, they've gone with him, do you love me more than these, might be the disciples, but what else might it have been?
Godt, så disciplen de her, konteksten er, at de stadig følger Peter, de er taget ud at fiske, og Jesus spørger, elsker du mig mere end disse, hvad andet kunne det være end disciplen?
We don't know where he's pointing with these, that's the point, isn't it, we don't know.
So if it's a film, where do you direct Jesus?
The character playing Jesus, where do you direct his hand to? I can't use this one, it's still too sore. These disciples?
Yeah.
Or these fish? Or these fishing? Your old life? Do you love me more than this? You've just gone back to fishing, mate. I just risen from the dead. What do you think you're doing?
Man kan også måske tænke sig, at Jesus peger på fiskene, elsker mig mere end dem, eller på fiskebådene og det gamle liv, som disciplen havde. Elsker du mig mere end det du nu er gået tilbage til? Jeg er opstået fra de døde.
The Greek allows both, folks.
Og det græske tillader faktisk begge forståelser.
It's open-ended. It could be anything.
Det kunne være hvad som helst af de ting, vi har nævnt her.
And if we want to stick with the disciples, fine.
Og hvis vi vil holde os til disciplen, så er det fint.
Let's quickly get back to the love.
Lad os hurtigt gå tilbage til kærlighed.
You have it in Danish, obviously, which is much better. Jesus says, do you love me? Using the strong, sacrificial love. Peter says, the lesser one, the love for brotherhood.
Og godt, lad os gå tilbage til det her med elsker du mig, hvor Jesus spørger Peter, elsker du mig med den hengivende kærlighed, og Jesus svarer med den broderlige kærlighed.
Okay.
Peter svarer med den broderlige kærlighed.
And again, Simon, son of John, it's interesting that the word Peter is not used in this context.
Og det er interessant her, at Peter ikke bruges i den her sammenhæng. Han spørger Simon, Johannes søn.
Please don't make too much of an argument from silence, it just is interesting.
Det er bare interessant.
Do you love me? Again, the strong love.
Elsker du mig? Igen, den hengivende kærlighed.
Peter says the same word, the phileo back. Yes, you know I love you, but it's not the strongest love.
Og Peter svarer med med et ord, der ikke betyder den samme stærke kærlighed.
It's now, it's still the same. And now Jesus, as it were, drops down as you, and he then says, do you love me? And he uses the same word that Peter uses.
Og Jesus går nu et niveau ned og spørger med de samme ord, som Peter bruger.
And that's the last part in verse 17. And then, of course, Jesus says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I, and he uses the same word back.
Og der svarer Jesus, Herre, du kender alle ting, du ved, jeg har dig kær. Bruger det samme ord som Jesus her.
Did Jesus say, I in the name of me forgive you?
Og siger Jesus, jeg i mit eget navn tilgiver dig.
Did he say it? Did he say those words?
Sagde han de ord?
Was Peter forgiven?
Blev Peter tilgivet?
So he can be restored, and he can be forgiven, and he can be sent back out again without the specific words.
So han kan godt blive genrejst og få et ansvar og blive sendt ud uden de her præcise ord.
And I do that as a bit of a tease.
Og jeg gør det for at vække jeres nysgerrighed lidt.
Because yesterday I said that the heart of the ministry from John chapter 20 verses 21 to 23 is.
Fordi jeg fortalte jer, at kernen i hyrdeembedet er
the forgiveness of sins.
Tilsigelsen af syndernes forladelse.
And I remember your point about the retaining as well, but the goal is always the forgiving of sins.
Og jeg kan godt huske, at der er en pointe med at fastholde, men målet er altid tilgivelsen.
And I just always want you to hear that as confession absolution from your pastor, from each other.
Og jeg ønsker altid, at I skal høre det her tilsigelse af, af syndsforladelsen fra jeres præst.
But it's my little dig.
Little
extra.
Det er lidt ekstra det her, jeg
prøver at lægge på. To expand it all the time.
For at prøve at gøre forståelsen dybere og bredere.
Because whatever we do.
For uanset hvad vi gør.
But you know, you get visitors to hold their hands up with milk.
Uanset om I får gæster på lejren her til at holde deres hænder ude med mælk.
Or have fun in camp.
Eller har sjov her på lejren.
Okay, fellowship, wonderful times together.
Og har fællesskab og har det rart sammen.
Strip it all the way to its essence.
Skær det hele ned til kernen.
What are we on about?
Hvad er det, det drejer sig om?
That Jesus has forgiven us, God has forgiven us, and we are living in that forgiveness.
At Jesus har tilgivet os, Gud har tilgivet os, og vi lever i den tilgivelse.
We distill all church activity to this product.
Al kirkeaktivitet kan distilleres til det her produkt.
And you are church.
Og så er I en kirke.
Alright, very, 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 very quickly. Jesus, the Greek for tend and feed.
Meget, meget hurtigt det græske for at vogte fårene.
What do you think? It's obviously not literal. Jesus is not expecting Peter to give grass to other people, so obviously it's not that.
Og det skal ikke forstås sådan literalistisk. Altså Peter forventer ikke at han skal give græs til andre mennesker eller får.
So what do you think Peter's task is?
Hvad tror I Peters opgave her er?
Just words. Yep, go.
Care for.
And an example of just how would he do that? Is that hugging them?
Nej, han vil ikke gøre det ved at kramme dem, men ja, first and foremost with the word of God.
Okay, so care with the word, yes?
At lede dem.
Okay, there's a guidance factor there, that's exactly right. That's found in the second one, okay? It tends to be feed, tend, feed. I don't know how it is in the Danish.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Feed... God, be shepherd. Yeah, guard my sheep, or protect them, and then be a shepherd for my sheep. Yeah.
And what's the last one?
And guard my sheep. God, be shepherd. God.
Oh, really? You have the emphasis more on the cook and the staff rather than the feeding.
We have no feeding allusions here, I think.
No, the Greek certainly has feeding allusions.
Det græske har faktisk hentydninger til det at sørge for mad. Meget specifikt. Ja.
Okay. Fascinating. Welcome to Greek and translations and all that sort of stuff.
Det er fascinerende. Velkommen til studiet af græske oversættelser.
Whether it's feeding or guiding or leading.
Men uanset om det er at sørge for mad eller vejlede.
What's the food?
Hvad er maden så?
You said it. The word.
Ja, du sagde det. Det er Guds ord.
And that's the point. And the idea of this guarding is an interesting one, because that has a dimension that we wouldn't have picked up in English at all, because it's guarding against, you know, evil, those sorts of things.
Og ideen med at vogte her har en dimension, som vi ikke ser i den engelske oversættelse, at vogte mod det onde.
Whereas in the English, we would have nourishing and caring and supporting, we would have protecting and guiding, and then we would have nourishing and supporting again.
Ja, og på engelsk der vil vi have at støtte og nære, og så passe på, og til sidst igen støtte og nære.
Fascinating. It's just great to explore. I'm learning things. Thank you very much.
Det er fascinerende og spændende udforsker at lære noget her. Mange tak.
Okay, the question then becomes, we use the word, how else does Peter, how else would he fulfill the tasks Jesus has given him to do?
Der bliver nævnt, Peter bruger ordet, hvordan ellers vil Peter udføre den opgave, som Jesus giver ham her?
Well, he's got a story to tell.
Han har en historie, han skal fortælle. Peters hele.
Altså, ja. Hans forkyndelse, hvis ikke han har en hele ånd, så kommer
Peter's proclamation of the gospel depends on the Holy Ghost.
Always.
Otherwise, he will not get anywhere.
Yep. No, that's true. We'll assume that is true.
Det er rigtigt. Det er et godt point, at vi antager her, at det er sådan, det forholder sig.
But when somebody comes to him and says, Peter, in the next generation, or you know, wherever he's travelled, and Peter says, yeah, I don't think you really understand. I've really sinned against Jesus. What do you think Peter's sort of internal reaction is going to be?
Forestil dig nu, at der kommer en i næste generation og siger, jamen Peter, du forstår ikke det her, jeg har virkelig syndet mod Jesus. Hvordan tror I så, Peters reaktion vil være?
Good pastoral practice will be, I know what you're going through. That's not, he's not going to say that. He's internally going to go, yeah, I understand where you're at, mate.
Og god pastoral omsorg vil være at sige, jamen jeg ved godt, hvordan du har det. Og det er nok det, han tænker indvendigt, men det er ikke det, han vil sige.
And surely, there was a description of evangelism from India.
Der er en beskrivelse af evangelisation fra Indien,
which was that evangelism is Christian evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
Og det er at kristen evangelisation er en tigger der fortæller en anden tigger hvor han kan finde brød.
And surely in relation to the work of the church and what Peter had to do.
Og bestemt i relation til kirken og hvad det var Peter skulle gøre.
It's just one sinner telling another sinner.
Så er det en synder, der fortæller en anden synder.
That Jesus can, does, and will forgive you.
At Jesus kan og vil og rent faktisk tilgiver dig.
So
Peter havde også en fantastisk opgave med pinsen, at han pludselig stod der, den her fisker, og forklarede alting fra start til.
Peter also had a wondrous task, this fisherman, explaining everything from the very beginning and until now, what had happened, the climax, what happened with Jesus.
Yep. And that he had that, and so of course, but that was the apostolic foundation.
Yeah.
When they have to choose to replace Judas, they have to choose from people who also were with them from the beginning.
Yeah.
So again, just in your own mind, it's probably helpful for you not to have this idea of Jesus and just 12 traveling for 3 years all over Israel. Okay, it's a much bigger group coming and going. Women come and go. Oh, scandal, scandal, scandal. That's Luke 8.
Okay, det er okay. Det er rigtigt, og vi har den apostoliske tradition her med, at det skal være øjenvidner til Jesus. Men og vi har ikke kun de 12, der fulgte Jesus, men en meget større gruppe, og som kom og gik, og der var sikkert nogen, der boede i Jerusalem, som så Jesus, når han var der og sådan noget. You go on.
So it's much more dynamic. It's much more fluid. I mean, we know that Jesus sent out 70 or 72.
Det er meget mere dynamisk og flydende. Vi ved, at Jesus sendte 70 ud, eller 72.
And by the time of Pentecost, the group is 120.
Og når vi kommer frem til Pinse, så er gruppen på 120.
Of which 12 are designated eyewitnesses, etc.
Hvor 12 er særligt udpeget øjenvidner.
Okay, so they're the reference points. They're the living scriptures until the New Testament is finally written.
Og de er referencepunktet og det levende ord, det levende skrift indtil det Nye Testament rent faktisk bliver nedskrevet.
And by the time Paul is writing to 1 Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15.
Og når vi når hen til det tidspunkt hvor Paulus nedskriver i 1. Korintherbrev kapitel 15.
How many people had seen Jesus risen from the dead before his ascension?
Hvor mange mennesker havde så set Jesus opstået før han blev taget op til himlen? More than 500.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, these first generation, you can get reference points. You can go back. Did you see? And remember the message? You don't have to see to believe, but this is the starting point.
Og det er rigtigt. I første generation, der havde vi den her referenceramme, hvor man kunne spørge andre, har du set Jesus? Og nu når vi hertil, hvor det bliver nedskrevet.
So I've taken too much time, so let's just finish with this final point then, in this regard. Do you believe that the message that Jesus gave to Peter was just for Peter and no one else?
Og nu er tiden knap, så nu vil vi prøve at runde af. Tror du, at den besked Jesus giver her til Peter kun var til Peter og ikke til nogen andre?
Because if you say yes, we'll go to morning tea straight away.
Hvis I siger ja, så kan vi gå afsted til frokost.
All right. You really want morning tea, but we'll be fast. We'll be fast.
Okay, jeg ved godt, I gerne vil have frokost, men lad os kunne os.
So tell me, how does a Christian congregation, how do you here in Denmark, how do you, and you need to use your words, but from my in the English, was feed, tend, and feed.
And how is it shaped one-on-one? Because remember, this was just a conversation between Jesus and Peter. What would be some of the examples that you would give?
Kan I give nogle eksempler her på hvordan det konkret udmønter sig, det her Jesus fortæller Peter med at vogt mine får, vær hyrde for mine lam. Nær dem og giv dem mad. Well, the letters of Peter.
We could read them and share them.
Ja, yeah. Vi kunne læse dem og dele dem.
Is that what that's true? Right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's another way to understand the question. That's the direct, the concrete thing that we have from Peter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what he was told to do.
Yep, he wrote it down.
An example of shepherding.
Yep. And so, of course, the example would be for us.
Og eksemplet for os ville her være
and to share the word.
At dele ordet.
But we're not eyewitnesses. We're not Peter.
Men vi er ikke øjenvidner. Vi er ikke Peter.
So what will all our words be based on?
Så hvad vil alle vores ord være baseret på?
You know the answer.
Og I kender svaret.
It's not based on scripture. It's not worth saying. If you're talking about Jesus, God, so base it on what we have.
Så vi baserer det på det vi har her.
Okay. What else? Other examples of feed, tend, feed.
Er der andre eksempler på at nære fårene og vogte dem, pas på dem? Yeah, to visit others or be invited and tell about our Lord Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. Share the faith. Mm-hmm. Meet together. Don't be afraid to meet together. Oh, it's called a congregation. Oh, it's called a summer camp. Fantastic.
Yeah, det er dejligt at mødes og dele ordet. Det er fantastisk.
That and in your communities, in your neighborhoods. How often should you meet together?
Det kan vi gøre i menighederne og der hvor vi er. Hvor ofte bør vi mødes?
As often as you like, but at least once a...
At least once a week.
Yeah, thank you. Where you will meet when Jesus calls you. And of course, then you have, you know, the pastor come and serve you.
Og vi mødes, hvor Jesus kalder os, og hyrden, præsten, kommer og tjener.
This is the divine service in English. Something similar in Danish?
Ja, det her er gudstjenesten.
Well, in English it's simple. I don't know if it fits in the Danish. The divine is coming to serve.
Gudstjeneste, det er det guddommelige, der kommer for at tjene.
Feed, tend, feed.
Ja, at give mad, og at vogte og passe på, og igen give mad.
And how you continue that can be as creative as you are individuals, and your circumstances are before you.
Og hvordan vi rammesætter det kan vi være kreative omkring.
I think that's well over time. So let's
jeg tror, vi allerede er gået en hel del over tiden, så lad os slutte her.
Once again, thank you very much for having me.
Så igen, mange tak for, at jeg blev inviteret.
It has been a real privilege to see a very faithful church in action.
Det har været dejligt at se en meget trofast kirke her.
Having fun.
I har det sjovt sammen.
Eating lots of good food.
Og spiser dejlig mad.
And gathering around God's word.
Og samles omkring Guds ord.
May God bless you always.
Må Gud altid velsigne jer.
Let's pray.
Lad os bede.
Well, God, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word.
Herre Gud, himmelske far, vi takker dig for dit ord.
Without it, we are lost in the dark.
Uden det er vi fortabt i mørket.
We are simply dead.
Vi er døde.
But in Jesus Christ, we have light and life.
Men i Jesus Kristus har vi lys og liv.
Help us to live in the light and to live each day to your glory.
Hjælp os at leve i lyset og at leve hver dag til din herlighed.
Anchored by your word in every storm.
Forankret ved dit ord i enhver storm.
Nourished by your word through words spoken, preached and proclaimed.
Næret af dit ord i prædiken og talt til os.
And words that come in water, bread and wine.
Og ordet der kommer i vand og brød og vin.
So that we may live together with the word made flesh.
Så at vi må bo sammen med ordet der blev kød.
To your glory.
til din ære.
And for the blessing of those around us.
Og til velsignelse for mennesker omkring os.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I Jesus Kristus vor Herre navn.
Amen.